The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
No music? No, sorry about that. You wanted to go in out of commercial, right?
That's okay. We're here. We're not gay. We're proud of it.
We're on the air.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I had some music to come on. We'll just skip that. The government song's the one I want to go into break with. So that's good.
Hey, I think this is the result of the government shutdown.
It probably is.
I think that's what happened. I think it got lost somewhere.
No, Measure A failed. That's what it is.
A government problem again.
There you go.
Well, first off, Nick, let's get this started. Welcome to the Poke the Hornet's Nest, folks, on KCNR 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and KCNR1460.com. Nick.
And
what?
I've got to apologize. Last week I said that we were going to be doing our podcast consistently 7 o'clock every Friday morning. Well, there was problems and it didn't work out. So I've got big news. I mean, big news, not just little news, big news. Doug's probably going to start doing a podcast with me, and we'll be doing it, pre-recording it during the week. And we're going to keep it to about 20 minutes or a half hour, because I know I don't have time to sit down for an hour. So we'll pick out a subject, and we'll do our best to educate you from the conservative point of view. So you people that are woke, just go back to bed. You won't have to listen to us. And maybe we'll just get it up as soon as we get done, and you won't have to wait till Friday morning. And
no.
So
This is an example of Nick is negotiating my future. He got me onto Carl's show. He said, "Hey, Doug, you need to be on Carl's show." And I said, "I do." And he said, "Yes, I've already put you on it."
Yeah,
so now you've moved me on to this one. So, I mean, before soon, I think I'll be on the cereal box.
Carl didn't keep the deal. The deal was, no, really.
I know.
Deal was that we'd have a conservative on once a month, and it was going to be rotating.
Yeah.
And you went on, and he just kept you on.
Well,
because I was going to be second, and he doesn't like to have me on his show.
I wouldn't want to put you on the show with me. I do it every other Sunday.
I call Carl, and he hangs up on me.
Well, it's funny, as I hear your voice on the radio when I'm driving into town from Shingletucky, where the people bark and the dogs talk. And as soon as I hear your voice, my ear starts to bleed. So I just want you to know, you have a very recognizable voice.
Thank you.
Hey, Nick, I hope my cousins in Oregon are listening. If you guys are, give Mom a hug. And then I met a gentleman in Vegas the other day named Brian. I won't out him because he probably gets shot where he lives, but he's from Chicago. And he didn't realize that we still had some conservatives in California, and I told him to listen to our radio show. So, Brian, if you're listening, welcome to the show, and we'll try to make it entertaining for you in Chicago.
So we'll talk about Measure A, but the one that changed the representation of the North State, what was that?
Prop 50.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what they want to do with at a national level. They want to make it a popular vote, and that'll give the coasts all the say-so, the interior, the
flyover country.
It's exactly what they want to do, and it's exactly what Leonard Modi and that crew did at the end of the census when they drew the new lines to for the supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
They cut out. I go, oh no, put that down into Chris Kellstrom's area, because Leonard and the conservatives weren't popular there. They had, I think, four or five people come in. They had three or four different plans. They just ignored them and did what they want. So this is a perfect example of some of our elected officials that they think they know what's best for us, and they just sit there and look at their phone during public comment. And
well, you know, the thing is, Nick, that I find interesting is that they predicated this on the fact, or predicated this, I should say, on the fact that Texas did this first. And if Texas can do it, then we can do it. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know enough about the Texas situation, but I do know that Texas did redistricting and increased the conservative footprint.
You know who got the blame for that? Kevin Cry. Yeah. Recall people accused him of it.
Yeah. But my point being is, if Texas did it, let's just argue they did it and it was in the similar vein as what California's doing. we don't have anywhere to bitch. If they did it down there to gain red seats, then they did it up here to gain blue seats. And I got to say, I'm absolutely disgusted. We might be represented by somebody from Santa Rosa. But if the Texans did it to increase the red footprint, what's good for the goose is good for the gander is all I can say. And I'm not happy about it, but I'm just saying if one's going to do it, you can't say well, they get to do it. We don't. And so it'll be interesting to see if it stands up in court. Because
well, actually, you know, Texas, their economy is a lot more healthy than California. And I don't give a rat's ass what Texas does. I care about what happens in California. Maybe they should be worrying about how to pick up our citizens in California rather than tit for tat with Texas or whoever else.
Oh, and I'm not arguing the economic outcome of California. I'm just saying on the political level, if Texas did it and is being deemed to have been legal, okay. I got to be honest, I don't see why California couldn't do it. And it sucks.
California is the fourth largest economy in the world.
Yes, it is.
According to people.
To economic people.
But the first three, they're in deficits too.
Nick, newsflash, everyone is in deficits, including Texas. There is no state, no city, no government that's running any kind of a surplus. The only one that's coming close... I just lied to you folks. I'm sorry I lied. Don't beat on me. Singapore as a...
Misspoke.
I misspoke. As a dictatorial democracy, I've been there. They have just massive amounts of inflow because it's a trading hub, so ships park, unload, reload. Singapore has a pretty solid economy, and Argentina is getting there. Argentina, Mr. Milei, has taken it from 250% annual inflation. I think I read the other day he's got it down to about 4. Poverty has dropped like 100%. It was at like 60. Now it's down to like 26% poverty rate. So Mr. Milei is probably one of the ones that is maybe bucking the complete debt trend, and he has actually made it a constitutional requirement that they have to run balanced budgets. So other than those two, I can't think of any place.
I suspect Dubai's probably doing pretty good.
What's that?
Dubai?
Yeah, but I mean the Middle East is all run on complete oil. I mean, you know, those guys.
We've got oil too. Well, and President Trump wants to drill for it, and maybe we'll be in the black.
Now the problem is they've got oil now. There's a glut because the economy's slowing down around the world. So we're at the point where oil's at about $65 a barrel. And at anything under 65, the oil companies cannot make money. So they're laying off tens of thousands of people around the world because they're not making money right now. So Trump's whole idea of he wants cheap oil, there is a flip side to that. When it gets so cheap, they can't make money. They just lay people off. Yeah. So there you go. That's cheap oil.
So Measure A got slammed.
Yes.
64% to what, 36?
Something like that. Congratulations, Redding. You just kept over $1 million in your bank account every single month. You guys get to spend that money and not the government. So congratulations. I did not get the vote.
So did you think that was a very well-written tax?
I think that the whole preface came down to BS, to be honest with you. Patrick Jones said it, and he said it publicly, that we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. Then DeQuisto, during COVID, said, look, we should not be making long-term obligations on a single-time payment. Our elected officials at the time...
Kristen Schrader, I saw her. We've got the money now. Let's give them a raise.
And many of them were left-leaning, and the rhinos that were left-leaning, which is pretty much most of them, agreed to this. And we got stuck with a bag full of dog poo. And I said it on Carl's show when we had our debate back and forth. Make cuts. Cut the salaries. Cut these people, the management, not maybe the rank and file, but the management, 10%. So they're going to go down to 90%. Newsflash. As a real estate agent, in 2005, I made pretty good money. 2008, I was 90% lower on my total income. 90% of my pay cut. I took a haircut of 90%.
Did you have to go sign up for SNAP?
You know what? I never took a penny of government handout.
You've got that horse sanctuary up there. You were in big, thick stakes.
Nope. I was here in Redding, and that had nothing to do with it. And... so when people go, yo, you real estate agents, I took a 90%, as did most real estate agents. We took massive pay cuts. And in right now, the market is really, really struggling. There's a lot of agents who are not making any money. So when I make the suggestion that a government employee take a 10% pay cut, they're going to squeal like they're pigs. But the reality is they're still going to get a paycheck. In real estate, we get fired every 30 or 45 days and have to go get a new one. And the next paycheck may be substantially less than the last one. And so nobody ever talked about, let's make cuts. Let's reduce the size of the outgo and the unfunded pension liability. Nobody ever brought that up. It was just, let's just grab more money every month from the citizens of Reading, which was going to equate, as you and I talked about, to about $1.5 million emptying our bank accounts every month to go give more government more money, to go lose more money. Well, and so I'm glad that it didn't go through. Reading, you gave yourself a raise.
I am too, but I thought it was poorly written. It was written by Joshua Johnson, who I call now the new deep state in Reading. The guy never won an election here, but he's taken on and wrote this proposition and going to tell us how to bring us out of wherever he came from. He's only been here 7 years. But I think it was poorly written on purpose. I think, in my opinion, if it passed, they'd have been going, hurrah, we got $30 million more to spend a year. But if it fails, hey, we can take the Civic Auditorium now. Civic's going to stay. It's going to shut down because we don't have the money to run it.
Yeah.
And McConnell Foundation, who probably ran this whole damn thing, it won't surprise me that they have possession of that not too long. And we'll, the taxpayer will pay for tearing it down, and grants will pay for building whatever wet dream they have there for it now.
Well, I hear K2 is pretty good about getting public money to build projects that they get to keep ownership of, so maybe that'll happen.
And we're probably going to shut down Big League Dreams.
Yeah, that's an example. It's funny, that's going to segue into my little thing here now, because that's what Kevin Cry and the group are up against, is this $200 million debacle for this psychology.
Before we go there.
Please.
I've got a plan for Big League Dreams.
You do?
I do. Why doesn't the city give it to somebody? Just give it. Say, here, run this, make a profit. We want it open. We want our kids to go out there to play. We want our adults to go out there to play. The roller hockey people want a place to play. It's our facility. It was built with a state grant. Yeah. And the city of Reading ran it, and it's gone to hell. Well, if this would have passed, they could have kept it going, and it would have continued to go to hell.
Yeah, it would have still been poorly run.
So give it to somebody. And here, you run this. I think they could probably turn a profit and keep it open.
Well, you
and
know,
make the improvements that need to be made. I think they've got $7 or $8 million worth of improvements they've got to fix up there after they let Big League Dreams out of the liability for it.
Well, and the thing is, you know, we brought this on the radio before, how, REU, flush with cash, flush. Why doesn't REU, first off, donate all electricity out there, all electricity, free, and then maybe even do you know, public fundraising, that kind of stuff, so that we can maybe get involved? Because I've been out there. I've actually
We could
played.
Have a bake sale.
We could
Don't try 12. And give Rush Limbaugh credit for that. I just thought of it.
We could do like $12 bake sales. Yes. No, it's just funny. That's an example of a, air quotes, outsider came in, promised us the moon, the sun, the earth, and the stars.
You build it for us.
Yeah, you build it on your dime.
And we've got to have 4 years free rent.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be great. It's going to be glorious. We're going to put money in. The coffers are going to be flush with cash. And here we are, not a whole lot of many years later, and it's a disaster. The fields are in terrible shape. What was supposed to be a weekend stack draw on softball tournaments and soccer tournaments is now trickled down because the fields are not in great condition. People don't want to play them. They get hurt.
They don't want to come to Reading. It's poverty flats. There's homeless everywhere.
Yeah.
Everything that
I don't think that's any better anywhere you go, Nick, to be honest with you.
Well, you've got a point there, but do they want to drive up here to play in 100-degree weather when they can go over to Manteca?
Well, I got to say, I'm not sure Manteca is housing in their hotels sex offenders and arsonists and registered violent
people.
Let's
send them some.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, I'm not sure that if
we've
you go
got
to Manteca,
plenty.
We got plenty. We got three hotels apparently full of them. We've now found out there's three of them in town apparently that have many violent criminals staying it, and yet they're open for regular business and they're not telling anybody. I was going to say, I think the city council and the county should come up with an ordinance that if a hotel is going to participate, and it's a financial decision, I get that, but if they're going to participate in housing registered offenders violent criminals in their thing, much like the guest suites on Cyprus, they have to post a note behind the desk. Currently occupying this facility are registered criminals. Be aware.
Well, besides that, they rent them long term. If they stay over 29 days, they don't have to pay the TOT tax.
Well, that doesn't matter. The fact that
does matter. That's a lot of money that goes into the
property. Well, yeah, I get that. But I'm just saying, if you're a family coming off the freeway and you go off Cyprus, turn left, go west. Oh, there's a restaurant and there's no guest in suites or whatever that's called. I'm going to go in there for the night with my family. And it turns out that 80% of the rooms are to registered offenders and criminal people. You don't know that. That to me is almost criminal that you're not telling them. Because, I mean, in real estate, we have to disclose if there's a group home in the area. Why don't they have to disclose they have a group of violent offenders in their hotel?
Logan and I got in that situation down in Oakland. He had a hockey tournament on Hagenberger, and we got a motel room through motels.com or some damn place at the Holiday Inn Express. And we went over there, and it was like one of those liquor stores where it's just got a little voice circle there and a little window and they're behind lock, and I'm looking around the parking lot. I see some it looks like these damn hotels right here across the street, people standing around drinking beer. And, we hot footed it to our room and got in there. And the gal that was at the front desk called and asked if we got there safely.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had to stay at a hotel in, Vallejo, had to spend the night. It's a long story. So I had to spend the night at that little Motel 6 right there as you're coming into Vallejo. It's on the right-hand side. And spent the night. And holy cow, the riffraff, the stuff that went on all night.
Yeah.
I was in my room thinking I was going to get attacked.
We got in one of those down in Santa Clara someplace. And right next door was a group of black people. And they were loud. They'd wake me up about every 20 minutes with loud voices, not just music. So when it came time to us to leave, and we had to leave about 6:30, I put on a Mexican station and turned it up, and we put the Do Not Disturb sign out and left. Paybacks are a son of a gun.
Yeah, being first isn't always the best. So, hey, Nick, before we go into break here in a bit, I want to tell a little story that's going to
go.
It's going to irritate, piss off anybody who's listening. So if you're listening, make sure you get your radio turned up, because this is a true firsthand story of how evil, evil, evil we have people, liberal people in Redding, California. I am personally aware of a family, a local family, whose 13-year-old daughter came home apparently and talked to dad and mama that she decided she wanted to be a little boy. As you can imagine, in a nuclear family, mom and dad were not necessarily happy that their cute little girl has made this decision, and were not necessarily real supportive, as I think most parents would react. So the little girl goes to the school counselor and tells him or her or it or they that they are not being supported at home because they want to be a little boy. So the school counselor goes to CPS, Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services goes to the courts. And they rip this little girl out of an otherwise happy home. They have now put this little girl into foster care. So she's now in the foster system. Mom and dad have left the state because for all intents and purposes, this little girl is now dead because they can't have any contact with her, last I'd heard, unless that's changed. They are now doing chemical castration on this little girl. They're going to ruin this little girl for the rest of her life and turn her into a pharmaceutical customer, because once you start this stuff, you have to do it for the rest of your life.
Right here in Redding.
Right here in Redding. So the school district, full of liberals.
She's within a mile of us right now, probably.
I don't know exactly where she's at, but I mean, in Redding, California, the evilness that is liberalism has destroyed a family. This family, which was just a year and a half ago, reasonably happy nuclear family, is now ripped to shreds. Their little girl is going to be chemically destroyed and never have kids. I don't know if she has mammaries, but if she does, they will remove those. And the kicker is they're sending the dad all the bills for everything they do. And I just want people to know that's liberalism. That's the face of liberalism. That is what's going on in Redding, California. And let me just qualify it this way so you guys really get a good understanding. let's say somebody comes and grabs your kid, takes them off and fills them full of drugs and ruins their life. That would be kidnapping. That'd be contributing to the delinquency of a minor. That'd be crime. Those people would end up in jail with boyfriends named Bubba. Here in Redding, California, it's called government.
Yes.
And it just pisses me off to no end that we, number one, are allowing it and that it's happening. This is supposed to be, you know, the conservative North State, the common sense people, and our school district is contributing to the destruction of a family and a little girl based on some crap thing that they've promoted, this ideology. And the reality is studies are now out and fully out that 90%+ of the time when these kids go through this kind of, we'll call it confusion, they come out the other side not wanting to actually be the opposite sex. They may be gay. They may be lesbian. Who cares? Nobody cares. But they didn't go through all of this. They didn't cut their wieners off. They didn't cut their mammaries off. And it was just kind of a phase over 90% of the time.
I remember when imaginary friends were phases for little kids.
Yeah.
They go around talking to their imaginary friend. Well, they outgrew that.
Yeah. Well, this family is never going to outgrow this. And this little girl will never be a boy. I don't care what these trans people say. It'll never be a boy. They won't. Nothing works like a boy. Most of the time, these women who go to men's side never get to finish surgery because it's hideous, it's horrible. And,
you know, some of those doctors, we could bring them to Reading. We've got a doctor shortage.
I don't think I need to have doctors that are going to do that to little kids. I just don't. So, folks, I'm just sharing that with you because, as you know, I'm very conservative. However, if gay people want to get married or lesbian, I don't care. Let them be miserable like the rest of us, okay? I really don't care. It's just a legal document. A Protestant can marry a Jew can marry a Catholic. It doesn't matter. It's a document. But when it comes to protecting our kids, we are doing a horrendous job. We are allowing the government to take our kids and destroy our families, and we're going to pay the price for that.
You know, I raised a little boy by myself. He's 36 now. No tattoos, no body piercings, no criminal record, and he's self-supporting. I hit the lotto. But the problems I had when he was young was people sticking their nose in my business.
Yep.
That was the biggest problem I had. He and I didn't have any problems. You wanted to talk about Signature Health.
The 200,000, the 200 million.
Let's wait till after the break because
okay.
We're almost
there. Oh, so you set me up to fail. You just pulled the chair from me.
That's right.
You loser.
No, winner. You're on the floor, not me. But I want to propose something before we go to break. And I've got a song taking us into break. So when we come out of break, we're just going to be talking. But I'm proposing Kevin Cries serve as chair for a third term.
Oh,
he has gotten so much done for our county.
Yep.
He you know, Chris Kellstrom's a great guy. And Chris, if you're opposed to that, you call me and let me know and I'll never bring it up again. But, Kevin, instead of, he'd just keep going. He'd be like, you know, he'd just keep the game running instead of, there's got to be a break-in period when you first take over. I know there was with Kevin, but a few of the things that Kevin has done for us, he saved us. Over the years, it's going to be millions of dollars getting rid of the Dominion machines.
Yep, agreed.
He got rid of the impact fees that were based on false statistics.
Mm-hmm.
He got rid of the notary fees.
Yep.
They were overcharging. He made us a charter county that gave us voters some control over our county and the way we want things to go.
Now that paperwork's filed, yes, we are.
And he made us a rural county.
Yeah.
Let's see. The continuum of care. He got rid of the continuum of care, which was costing us almost $500,000. And the city of Reading laughed at us. Yeah, we'll take it on. No problem. Well, a year later, it's costing them almost $1 million. And they've dissolved it, I think. They were looking for nonprofits to take it over. The electric bus. They want to give us a grant for electric bus to go to Bernie. It'll never work. He turned it down.
Yep.
And let's see, he's available to the public. Anybody calls him, he'll return your call. He has his coffee. You can go down there and ask him a question, and he'll answer it for you.
And he doesn't run away. He takes it on, and I know that he's got people that beat on him, but he will sit there and answer your questions.
He has stood up for us on a state level, on a national level, and Signature Health that wants to go in that Doug's going to talk about after the break. They have the potential to cost us millions and millions of dollars.
Tens of millions.
A money hole. And, you know, I can't give Kevin all the credit for this, but the majority of these he brought up, or he was a swing vote, but it takes three votes.
Well, you know, I'm going to give Kevin credit for something he didn't do. That whole deal with the casino, that was actually, what was his name? Gardner? No, who was the guy who Tim Garmin? Tim's the one that negotiated the whole thing, and then when it got passed and signed, they blamed Kevin for screwing the county.
Yes,
and he didn't even do it.
And they got $1 million and so much a call, they never got nothing for 20 years before that.
So there's Kevin got blamed credit for something he didn't even do.
No, I think it would be a big plus for him to be chair again.
Yeah, I think he's doing a good job, and I got to be honest, Nick, you and I beat on her a little bit, maybe a lot. But from what I am learning, Tanessa has really stepped up her genuine kind of like I care about my constituents. So there
you
go.
Well, you know, I was sour on her and she jumped up here. Well, there's a few things Kevin's supporting that I don't approve of.
Yep.
You're not going to like everything somebody does.
I don't like anything
you do. The main
things,
you know. That's why you're on here, just to come pick up. Okay, let's go. Let's get listen to this song going out of break. Bam.
Okay. Who can take your money? Constitution.
I wrote that. Thank you.
Who can give a bailout? Tell us to behave. And make the founding fathers roll over in their grave. I don't care if you hate me. I'm going to sing it anyway. Oh, the government can. And the government can. Because they mix it up with lies and make it all yummy, yummy, yummy.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Redding Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Redding Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Redding Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risks to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Don Pepin Garcia Cuban Classic, wrapped in a beautiful Habano Rosado leaf. These cigars are jam-packed with lush, hearty Nicaraguan tobacco, rich, robust, and yet complex and balanced. Notes of cedar, smoked cashews, black pepper, and cocoa. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, my name is Lori from Backrubs. We've been working with the Rancheria since 2008. It's an honor to be partnering with Rancheria. They're one of our favorite groups to work with.
I'm Yasmin Pena with Shasta Heating and Air Conditioning. We've been working with the Redding Rancheria since 2022, and we are proud to be their go-to whenever they need work done.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
So, getting back to big league dreams, maybe the Rancheria would take it over. Maybe the McConnell Foundation.
They got plenty of money.
Maybe Red Emerson and Sierra Pacific.
Kevin Grine.
Well, if you got the money to replace that turf and get the thing running, it could be a moneymaker
for
Redding and the owner.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of wealthy people. Actually, it's quite surprising. You know, you go back and kind of look at the wealth that is in this town. There is enough private wealth that if they kind of came together, formed maybe a LLC, threw, I don't know, $1 million each into it, turned it into some kind of a non-profit, you know, hire a manager, hire somebody who knows how to run something like that. They could turn that thing around and I think be a very positive impact on the community for our kids. I remember when Big League Dreams first opened, they were having tournaments and soccer tournaments and softball tournaments all the time. And then over the years, it just kept getting less and less because the field was getting worse and worse.
Well, I've got a friend, Thomas, who used to bring a Little League team over here from Reno. He said it was a wonderful facility. They looked forward to coming over here anytime they could.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a high opinion of it now.
No.
But, you know, in the city, I doubt they would give it to him. But they should. They should give it to somebody that wants to build it up and make it a community asset.
And
same with Tiger Field. I'd get a hold of Bazzetti and Les Melberg and say, hey, is that offer still open? You take over South City Park? Get it off our hands. Let them build it.
Yeah. Private, as a general rule, history has a near 100% track record. Private industry normally wants things better than government does. Because government just has the money, they don't know what to do with it, and they don't know how to run it. When it's private.
I'll tell you what government does better than the private
they
sector.
They steal little kids. They steal little kids.
They run things into the ground.
Yes. I agree. But
signature
no, I mean,
health.
Okay, Signature Health. Let's, there we go. We got a little. No, so, you know, that's in the news, and you've got all the whack job liberals and the rhinos and, Long and these folks beating on Kevin Cry again because they've come up with this letter saying they're not in support of this $200 million boondoggle. And, Big League Dreams is an example of when you have outsiders come in, promise the world, and they leave. And in this case, think about this, folks. The build cost is $200 million. And according to what is publicly out there, it's going to provide up to 72 or 74 beds.
They started out with 68. I was at the meeting. They were going to have 68 beds. Or not 68, 48.
48. And then it went to, I think it's 70 or 72 now. So divide, let's do simple non-common core. So anybody that's younger than 25, you're probably going to take your shoes off and bring out paper. But anybody over 25 remembers how you do division. So you take $200 million by about 70. We'll just round numbers around. That means every bed is $3 million in cost before it ever turned 1 cent of profit or utilities or management or staffing. $3 million per bed. And we're being led to believe that this is going to be a for-profit kind of venture. But if it doesn't, the organization can basically up and leave, and then Shasta County would be stuck with the $200 million. I'm guessing it's going to be funded by either bonds or some kind of loans.
Well, they want $150 million grant from the federal government, and there'll be strings attached to that, meaning it has to stay open if they get that grant. So if they walk away, Shasta County has to run it.
Yeah. I mean, think about that, folks. How ridiculous. Yes, we have a mental health crisis. Yes, I get it. Everybody's there. But I've heard these morons on the left talk about how, well, the people in Butte and these other counties, you know what? Let them go together and buck up. Let's build it in Chico. Let's do it in Chico.
Tehama County said they'd like to have it.
Well, then let's let Tehama County do it. I mean, I don't care, but I think when your Health and Human Services director and the entire staff is advising the board to say, this is not a good deal, this is a bad deal, don't support it, I'm going to listen to her.
I'll bet you can't guess who owns the property it's going to be built on.
Well, I would make a joke, but I don't want to make a joke.
McConnell Foundation.
Oh, I was going to say somebody else. I won't.
You know, this is just like that offer for the Posse Grounds and Civic Auditorium.
Yeah.
You start looking deep, it's the McConnell Foundation.
Yeah.
Bunch of rich liberals.
Yep.
And they want they come up with these bright ideas, but they want the public to pay for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the best part about it. Liberals are excellent. They are amazing at spending other people's money. So, you know, when you hear this healthcare company talk about they need a grant of $150 million. Just remember that $150 million, technically speaking, is somebody else's money. It's being stolen from them in taxes to be given to some pet project. If it's really worth doing, the local people should fund it. And I don't think they're going to find $150 million for its support in Northern California.
Okay, so.
There you go.
Okay, so this facility is going to have 78 beds.
78. Ah, okay.
So they say. And they're going to have physicians there. And we've got a physician shortage. Where are they going to get all the psychiatrists for this? You know, they had that one unit that was two police officers and a mental health specialist that went around homeless camps.
I think CERT. Is it called CERT? CERT,
yes. Well, they had to get rid of one. Barry Tippin told us it was because of finances. But he told Monique it was because they couldn't get another person, another qualified psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever it was, to go with the team.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of misspokes by Barry.
Well, you know, and that's one thing that's a little different about that cancer center that's being built is they're actually not necessarily bringing in new doctors. They're trying to put them all together in one facility. So we're not really relying for new doctors in that facility. This one would require all new people that don't exist.
But we've got doctors leaving the system all over the United States.
Thanks to Obamacare, yes.
What do we got to draw doctors to Reading?
Besides being the best place on planet Earth to live, politics aside, that's really the draw, is we've got I've lived around the world. I've been very fortunate.
I don't know how many of those professionals tell me we don't have any decent restaurants.
Well, okay. But you know what?
My wife can't go shopping to the nice.
Well, if they want that, go buy a house for $900,000 or $2 million to go live in a little free one.
That's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
If that's what they want, if they have to, you know, I think Reading has everything we need to be an amazing city, except for the politics down in Sacramento.
Well, all the doctors think they're exceptional, the biggest percentage of them, in my opinion. But listen to this. Physician payments have fallen 33% since 2001 after adjusting for inflation, while practice expenses have risen 59%.
Mm-hmm.
A new study in the Annals of Internal Medicine found that nearly 5% of U.S. physicians left clinical practice in 2019.
Yep.
A 40% increase in just 6 years. For every hour of patient care, physicians spent nearly 2 hours on documentation and desk work.
Obamacare.
None of it enhances health care, but it keeps the lawyers and administrators satisfied, sacrificing evenings with family, replaced by late-night charting marathons to satisfy billing requirements. Insurers set payment rates that barely cover overhead, while inflation, staffing shortage, mandatory technology upgrades push expenses higher. Independent physicians, those who still see medicine as a calling rather than a corporate job, are selling out to hospitals. So, you know, and the failed recallers seem to think we're going to attract physicians to Reading and we don't need a medical college. The medical college has a potential to get some doctors here that want to stay here because of the amenities you just mentioned.
Yep.
I want to raise my family here. This is a nice community.
Yep. I know. Well, you know, back in the day when probably one of the worst pieces of legislation ever then and still remains, Obamacare passed, we had a lady working for me at my company at FSBO, and her husband was a doctor.
What's FSBO? Is that making soda pops or something?
That was for sale by owner real estate.
Okay.
Black signs back in the day. But anyways, her husband was a doctor up in Plumas area. And he had a private practice, and he would do some emergency room stuff, you know, to help out the local hospital. Well, when Obama came here, she said it was ridiculous. He wasn't getting home till 10, 11 o'clock at night, because after he was done with the patients, he spent the next 4 or 5 hours filling out paperwork for Obamacare that he didn't have to do prior to Obamacare. And so the thought that we're going to attract all these doctors as the world, I mean, quite honestly, the world actually has a huge shortage of doctors. Funny enough, the ones that are coming out of India and in that area. They seem to have a pretty decent system, because there's a lot of doctors that are coming out of that and coming to America.
Well, actually, they take their education a little bit more serious also.
Yeah.
And you won't believe the vast swing there is between a good doctor and a bad doctor. It is just amazing. I always thought just any old doctor was super duper because he's been through medical college.
He's a doctor. She's a doctor.
Oh, boy, was that a mistake. I paid for it.
Well, you know, that's the one thing I absolutely hate with all of its iterations and soon to be ruinations of society. I hate AI. I hate AI. I don't use it in my business. I don't use it for anything. However, I must admit, as a free thinking, common sense person, I can see where AI in the medical profession might actually be some net benefit. Because like you're saying, you go to a bad doctor. Well, you think they're good. They're going to give you their bad advice and you're going to be worse off for it. Whereas if AI meets its potential, it's going to be able to pull from millions of articles from around the world that have been published, because that's the only way they get it, is it has to be a published work. So you go into, let's say, telehealth or whatever is going to be, and you go, I've got this, and it hurts here and this and that, and they can go in and they can look at millions of articles and maybe find some distinct cure from some doctor in Lower Australia that he fixed gout, for example, is just a crazy one. So I think AI could change the medical profession and give us less of the bad doctors and more of positive health. But otherwise, I think it's just going to ruin society.
I agree with you. Some of these things that I've seen are just unbelievable. In fact, I reported on a couple here about a year ago, not quite a year ago. Caitlin Clark had signed a contract and was playing in Europe that year. And who was the other one? I think it was Sophie Cunningham was, Angel Reese was kicked out of the NBA or the WNBA for taking steroids. Turns out neither one of them are true.
Yeah.
I read those or saw videos and I believed it.
Yep.
And it had to be AI because it was completely false.
Well, you know the saying.
I'll bet you the failed recallers embrace AI.
I don't know who embrace. I work with people who think it's just tremendous, and they don't write their own stuff. The descriptions of housing is not from them. It's just they put it in there and say the house has 1,400 square foot. It's overlooking a lake, and AI chips out something in 40 seconds. And I tell them, I kind of scold them and tell them, don't do that. You know, the more you give away your job, the less you're needed.
Well, you know, I see it at the supervisors' meetings. There's a group of three or four that read their comments. And I suspect that AI is helping them make them.
Well, you know, I won't go into the massive details, but just say we had an intern at the sanctuary. It didn't work out well. When the dust was settling, Liz let me see her resume just to kind of go, this is what this lady's resume was. And I read it, and it was like high level BS that a politician would have wrote, you know, and henceforth and here was and studies and this and that. None of it was remotely accurate to what this person's qualifications were. And I mean, the second I read the first like 3 cents, I said, this is AI generated. It had nothing to do with a real person putting down in their words what made them qualified. And that's becoming the norm. And like you say, we're at the point where don't believe what you see, believe half of what you hear. And at the end of the day, it's probably all still going to be a lie.
Another thing about Signature Health, Aaron Reisner was on Carl Bott's show the second hour, Friday. Take the time to listen to that if you have time. One of the nonprofits that's involved with that has changed to a for-profit entity. And I emailed her and I emailed Tanessa, and they didn't get back to me and Carl to find out which one it was. But the reason they do that is they don't have open books in a for-profit. A non-profit,
you have to have open books that can be viewed by the public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so I think there's some shenanigans going on here.
There's $200 million at risk, Nick. Of course there's going to be shenanigans.
Well, yeah, but you want to, you know, they're going, and on that show, Aaron said there's 800 homeless and idiots over in the Enterprise area off Hartnell, Churn Creek, Hilltop. And there's 800 over here in downtown Reading. I think she's probably talking south of town. That's 1,600. And they aren't going to treat many of those people with 78 beds.
No.
You know, and,
For $200 million. $200 million.
And it's a regional facility. Oh, of course, after we treat them, we're going to send them back where they came from. Well, you know what? You can't make them go back there.
No.
And this is a free country. That's why they get away with sending them up here from San Francisco and Sacramento.
I've got a suggestion, Nick. If this thing goes through and they get sent in from Butte County or Tehama County or whatever county or city, it comes with a $1 million check. Every time they send someone to us, they've got to send us $1 million check or we won't admit them into the facility, because that's really what you're looking at here, is they're going to send their...
We don't have that power. It's privately owned.
Well, my point... No, it's not. It's going to be publicly funded.
I believe most of the funds will be come from Medi-Cal. And do you know how the rules with the state change periodically?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when they're not making a profit, in my opinion, they'll fly.
Well, and
they're not here. They're not here. It's just these people that were ex-government employees that started the Legacy Center, One Safe Place, which are good. I'm not running them down, but now they've got the Arch some damn thing. It has combined them all. I suspect that's the for-profit, but I don't know that. And they're the ones that's shoving us down our throats. These are ex-government employees. Name something the government's that they've produced themselves.
But they don't have to produce. They're the government.
Yeah. So now they're going to affect our whole community, and they've never produced anything. All they've done is spend taxpayer money.
Well, you know, it's funny. I just did a 20-day vacation with my wife's brother and his wife, and they're Dutch, and they're liberal. They're liberal as liberal gets. So you can imagine 20 days locked in a car for 8,000 miles. We had some great conversations. He's always been involved with some government facet, writing grants in the government, and now he works for the school system. And his mentality is absolutely that they can just spend money. And I go, but to spend that money, you have to steal it from somebody else. Oh, no, it's just government money. I'm like, Yost. The government doesn't produce anything. Name something the government produces. Name something that happens.
If you want to get rid of him, drop him off the side of the road with his name on a big tag. Yost, somebody will run over him.
Well, no, the funny thing was, is listening to him for 20 days in a car. The mentality of the people who get into that government mindset, they really do believe that it's fairy dust, that they can just spend money unlimited and take it and it doesn't affect anything. And which, if I'm going to give you Nick a dollar, you have to steal it from me, and in the form of taxes. And so this $200 million is going to be a theft to give it to him. And when the government runs it, it's going to run into the ground. That's where they're going to run it.
Let me tell you about taxes. 125 years ago, you didn't have to get permission from the government to collect rainwater. There's fees. Go fishing, own property, start a business, build a home, get married, hunt, own a weapon, cut hair, sell a product, protest, sell food. The government extorts money on every activity you do.
Yep. That's government. Government, by its design and nature, is meant to turn into tyrannical overlord. And that's what I, the older I get, and I just turned 60, the older I get, the more appreciation I have for that group of relatively young gentlemen 250 years ago. They really were pretty smart guys who put that Constitution and Bill of Rights and stuff together. They saw this coming, and they tried to avoid it, that the government was not intrusive, like you're saying, into every bit of our life.
You're paying taxes.
And we have abandoned them.
Listen to this. You're paying taxes on money you make. You're paying taxes on money you spend. You're paying taxes on things you own that you already paid taxes on with already taxed money. What are they going to tax next? You know, I ran across, or I had this heavy thought, and I mean it's heavy, man.
Uh-oh, everybody listen up. Turn the radio up.
Yes. They built some EV charging stations down by my house. I'm sure it cost well over $1 million for 8 of them.
Yeah.
And I got to think,
and they're almost never used, for the record. They're almost never used. But continue.
I go by them twice, three times a day, and I think I've seen two cars using them. But I got to thinking, who pays for that? All of us pay for it. We're subsidizing these snotty people that have to have an EV for a status symbol.
Mm-hmm.
They're tearing up our roads because they're twice as heavy.
Yep.
If you have a fire, they tax a fire department 10 times more than a regular car.
Because you can't put out the lithium batteries.
I've had fires in my vehicles. I put them out with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
You know, and every faucet of them is paid for by the taxpayer.
Yep.
And Elon Musk just got a $1 trillion raise.
Do you know the details on it? Glad you bring that up. Do you know how that works?
No, you tell me.
So, I was in, Las Vegas. My sister just had hip replacement surgery. And so I had a lot of time in a hospital room looking through stuff. And of course I go down rabbit holes because that's just what I do and I don't mean to. But, I read it and then I said, there's no way. I call BS. If this deal were to happen, and it won't, Tesla's doing not so well. It's never turned a profit. Just for the record, it's never turned a profit. If it wasn't for tax breaks and handouts, it would not make a profit. However, if this were to work out in the next 10 years, because it's theoretically a 10-year compensation deal, I read it, I didn't believe it, and then I did my math. It works out to, if this were to go to fruition, if Elon Musk would be getting $275 million a day.
He could use some help. We could sell him big league
dreams. We could do big league dreams. But that's literally the number. And I go, there's no way it's 275. So I went and did $1 trillion on my calculator, divided by 3,560 days, because that's 10 years. It indeed is $273.9 million, theoretically, if that deal were to be fruition. Do you think Tesla makes $275 million in pure profit a day? They don't.
What has he done that's made a profit?
Well, nothing has done made a profit. If it wasn't for our supporting Mr. Musk, nothing that he has done. And I got to give credit. I mean, SpaceX is pretty cool. You know,
catching that booster, wasn't that something?
Yeah, the Starlink, it's cool. But if government handout, he would not have been able to do any of it.
Let me tell you about Starlink. He wants to have about 40,000 satellites up there, and they're bright. They're going to screw up any watching the stars on Earth by any telescope.
If you've ever looked at our night sky, you can see them going by.
I saw 18 of them in a row.
They
are brighter than anything.
Yep.
But the thing is, I read about it, and when he gets them all up and running and he sells you it for $100 a month, he's going to be making over $1 billion a day. A day.
Well, if it gets that big, I guess maybe.
Yeah, well, that's what the plan is. Everybody on Earth has it.
Well,
and
I know
the
that
prices have already gone up, and I guess it's quite expensive to initially hook up to it, and then it's about, I don't know, 100, 115 a month.
Well, out in Shingletucky, we have Starlink, and it's like, I think we pay 160 a month, so it's not great, but compared to the options, at least it works, and it works in bad weather. My theory is, I think the government should now, if they're going to do these private public partnerships, even like with K2 locally, is any dollar that's part of a pilot needs to be repaid. Like Musk wants to take Starlink public. Well, every dollar plus interest needs to be paid back to the taxpayer, and then he keeps the rest.
Well, I agree with you there.
Yeah, and K2, same thing. Is K2 gets all this grant money, they build these buildings, but then they keep ownership, not the taxpayer.
And they've got guaranteed clientele through HUD.
Yeah.
And I hear they're tore all to heck.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that every time we give money to do something, and I understand there's huge money to make a rocket and launch it, but if you're going to make profit, air quotes, the taxpayer should be getting some of that profit, because without our dollar, you wouldn't be turning a profit. So
it's called private government partnership.
Oh, yeah.
Government pays the way and you reap the profits.
Yeah. Yeah, doesn't seem right. It doesn't work in my life. I don't have any private government partnership.
Oh, I do. They take half my money.
Yes, they do. And they're going to take more soon.
I'm going to be your partner. I'm going to take another 7% this year. Oh, boy.
Well, at least in Redding, California, the